hymn number 520, which is where it's on the hymn board if you're looking at it. Dearest Jesus, at your word. Hymn 520. Continue our worship with the Confession of Forgiveness found here. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. died for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 in the front of the hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Oh, The first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9 through 14. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8, and we'll read it responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless the Lord's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And do not forget all God's benefits.
Who forgives you all your iniquity.
Who heals all your diseases.
Lost my place. Who redeems your life from the pit.
Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works vindication.
And justice for all who are oppressed.
The Lord made known God's ways to Moses.
God's paths to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and graceful. Gracious,
slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. So that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape what they refused, when they refuse the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? All at that time, God's voice shook the earth, and now God had promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Holy Gospel for today, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. It's from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Vicky and Deb, since you're sitting in the back pew, if you could check the door for when David may come back. I'm not sure if that will happen or not. He left for a minute. I think he just went to the restroom. It's okay. You didn't notice. You were busy working like me. But if you guys could be the doorkeepers, thank you. Because it's going to be hard to open the door. Walker. Thank you, Dustin, for reading my sign language. We need to figure out how to do that better up here. You know, English sign language. Good to be back. Good to see you all. You were missed much more than I was. So there, enough said. The woman crippled for 18 years and unable to stand up straight does not ask for healing in our reading for today. For 18 long years, she'd been dealing with this ailment, whatever it might be, we don't know, other than she was bent over, and Jesus says that it was because of Satan. We'll talk more about that later on. But instead, Jesus calls her over during the Sabbath day at the synagogue and sets her free from her ailment, speaking a word of healing and laying hands on her. And what is the woman's response? I think this is important. You don't hear anything else today. Listen to this. The woman's response is just she stood up straight. And what did she do? She began praising God, appropriately so. Now, the focus of this reading from Luke chapter 13, usually by preachers especially, is on the behavior of the leader of the synagogue. He's the poster child for callousness and the lack of empathy. But he was upholding the law, because all of you confirmation students, past and present, know that the third commandment of the 10 high holy laws is, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy." Old English words, thou shalt. And for the Hebrew people and the early Christians, this was the most important commandment of all. Forget adultery, forget murder, forget slander, forget all that stuff. Keeping the Sabbath was the most important thing. And you did no work on the Sabbath. Now, I have worked in Montana with dryland wheat farmers. I've worked in American Falls, Idaho with dryland wheat farmers, and we are harvesting now. I get it. And before the rains come hard, sort of like they did a couple nights ago, we want to get the grain in. I understand that. I also spoke, when I first moved here 14 long years ago, one of the farmers told me that his father taught him, yes, you can harvest anything, anytime on Monday through Saturday, but you will not harvest on Sunday. Whether you're in church or not, and his father always was, you will not start up the engines on Sunday. Because he adhered to this law. And so this person was confessing to me that he still believed what his father told him, but now his sons, having grown up, working the fields, didn't really pay much attention to his grandfather and his father, their grandfather and their father. A lot of preachers, this is the most important part of this whole text, and I don't go there at all. It's like preaching to the choir. You're all here on a Sabbath day, the new Sabbath day, the eighth day of the week, okay? Resurrection day. But that's not what important, that is not what is important here. The leader of the synagogue is not important. Even though he's trying to keep the law and stand up for God, who do you think you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God? Yes. For 18 long years she's been sick. Couldn't you wait one more day? Yes. But all through Luke's gospel, and I've got them all listed if you want, call me up this week. I've got them all for you. All through Luke's gospel, Jesus does things on the Sabbath to make the synagogue leaders angry. Ha! Go figure. And he does that to show that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. That God's kingdom should be brought in. God's healing, God's love should be brought in. Even on the Sabbath day to people's lives. This woman had been bent over for 18 long years. And I think of my own relatives and Edna. And I think of people in this community who were bent over. And in this congregation, two of them off the top of my head, who were bent over for years and years. Because of their spine and the ailments they suffered from. For 18 years. Thank you. For 18 years, she's been bent over. Can you wait one more day? No, Jesus couldn't wait because he's the Lord. And he's the creator. And he's the one who will give peace and wholeness. She did not ask for healing. She knew the law. She was in church, by the way, which is amazing for women. Women weren't allowed to be in church. I studied that in seminary, though. Actually, the men sat on the sanctuary side, but then they had like a little chapel for the women and children. Or if you watch Yentl or Fiddler on the Roof, the women and children were always in the balcony. The men got to be in the floor up front, the places of honor. That's next week's sermon. But the women and children were all up in the balcony or in the chapel next door. She was at the synagogue. She knew the law. She knew the third commandment. And so she didn't ask for healing. She didn't ask Jesus to do any work. But he saw her, and he had steadfast love and mercy and compassion. And he says, woman, come here. And he laid his hands on her and healed her. Now, I would even go as far to say that in this story, the leader of the synagogue is not the most important person, and either is Jesus. He was just doing what he does, right? The woman had been crippled for 18 years. She knew the law. She didn't ask for healing. She was bound by Satan, which is a whole other thing. She didn't maybe just have scoliosis of the spine or curvature of the spine or osteoporosis or any of those things that my mother and my Aunt Edna and everybody suffered from. But Jesus calls her and heals her. That's important. He calls her and heals her. And how does she respond? She stands up straight and she praises God. I love that. I absolutely love that. He had broken the law for her sake in that, but she still praises God because she has been healed after 18 long years. My thought is that the synagogue leader and all of the people in the synagogue should have done the same. They should have stood up and sang, praise to the Lord the Almighty, all the verses. And praise God. My question for you today, though, is how many of you are there for your neighbor? How many of you rejoice and are glad when your neighbor has good news? For 18 years, she bent over
Everybody at church knew that. She was the lady bent over. My Aunt Edna. I used to smile. Her chin was on her chest. My great Aunt Edna, actually. My grandmother's sister. I loved them all dearly. We see Edna, Melinda, and the one I can never remember. You remember it? I don't know. I'm looking at my sister. My sister's here, by the way. Yay! I'm not preaching about her today. Anyway, my Aunt Edna used to have her chin on her chest. She was looking at her feet all the time. She's the one that could cross her legs. Never. My grandmother's, either grandmother or my great aunts ever wore pants. Never in their life did they wear pants. So she put her dress over her knees because they were down to half her calf. She would cross her legs in the backyard during the August heat and humidity when we had picnics, and both of her feet would be flat on the ground. And it made it look like her shoes were on backwards. I used to laugh and laugh. When I was a six-year-old, I was in the hammock, and I laughed and laughed because my Aunt Edna, my great Aunt Edna's shoes were on backwards. I thought, doesn't she know how to put her shoes on? I learned that a year ago. Her legs were so thin, she was able to put both feet down on the ground, flat-footed. But she had her chin. She never looked up. When you talked to her, sometimes, little kids, it was okay because we were six and we were small. You could look up at her and she could look down at you. She's the one, Pat Chase, that I would write letters to ever since fourth grade. First time I ever wrote her a letter, I wrote her a three-page letter because I took pity on her. Steadfast love. She sent it back with red marks of corrections and spelling and everything. I was devastated. I thought, how dare she? I was trying to be kind to this little old lady who can't even look up. Because she never had the surgery. She died looking at her shoes on the wrong feet. But she's the one, Pat Chase, yeah. And Edna. I loved her dearly, though. And I kept writing to her, even though she sent me that letter back. I'll show her. And until she died, I wrote her a letter once a month or so. And said, hi, how you doing? This is what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. How many of you are there for your neighbor, for your Aunt Edna? How many of you are there and rejoice and are glad when your neighbor has good news? Or how many of you are bent over by life so that you do not see your neighbor or see one another eye to eye? I think that's even more important. I, as a little fourth grader, was going to take it upon myself to be kind to this little old lady in her 70s or 80s or whatever that is. That's not so old anymore, by the way. Yeah, you got that, didn't you? I could tell you a story, but I won't. I miss you guys, you know? Thank you. A little 5-year-old boy at Vacation Bible School, after the second day, he was in my class. He says, how old are you anyway? Beard, mustache, gray hair. I said, I'm 63 years old. I thought, I'm not going to lie to a 5-year-old. We're in church. I'm the pastor. What the heck? I said, I'm 63 years old. He goes, my grandfather's 86. I said, well, see, I'm only 63. I went home that night, and I rehearsed the conversation in my mind. He was thinking I was going to say 112. How old are you? My grandfather looks a lot younger than you do at 86, and you look like 112 years old, Methuselah. I didn't ask him the next day when he came back about that, okay? But how many of you are bent over by your life so that you do not see your neighbor or one another eye to eye? She did not ask to be healed. She had lived with this ailment for 18 years. And we are told by Jesus, and I don't think Jesus is ever wrong, quote me, that it was because of Satan she was bent over. I don't know if osteoporosis or scoliosis or any of those things are caused by Satan. I think that they're human. You know, they're a natural phenomenon. But she may have been bent over for other reasons. Lack of respect. Lack of love, lack of understanding or being listened to. For 18 years, how many doctors did she probably go to? How many priests and rabbis at the synagogue did she go to and say, pray for me? And did they listen to her? Today in the prayers of the church, you are going to pray with me these words. Listen carefully. Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God, you are steadfast love and mercy. Hesed and grace. Bring encouragement and your presence to all who are experiencing emotional, mental, and physical distress, especially those whom we name in our hearts and our minds. And then this is the part I want you to hear. We're going to pray this in just a few minutes. Heal all those who are bent over by addiction, anxiety, and depression. How many of you are so bent over in your own life that you're not there for someone else? I got home late Tuesday night with my sister in tow. It's a good thing. She's helping me out my life. And right away I had 3 or 4 phone calls. Pastor, we need you. It's an emergency. And so in the next couple days I met with people. And indeed, the people who called were friends of the friends who were in need. They were the ones who saw their friend bent over so much that they needed help. And the last resort, I say that lovingly, the last resort was Pastor Beek. He's back, okay. We'll get him in his office. And indeed they did. And I listened. I tried to be there for these people who were in need, who were bent over, not by scoliosis or osteoporosis like my great Aunt Edna or my mother or my Aunt Nancy, but who were bent over by addiction, anxiety, depression, and being overwhelmed by life. Jesus is here to show you God's steadfast love and mercy. Jesus has come to this earth to show us that God loves us no matter what, no matter how bent over we are. And my Aunt Edna knew that. She was a faithful churchgoer with her sisters to the Lutheran Church in Youngstown, Ohio. And yet she was never relieved of that pain in her life. And it wasn't just physical pain. There was some emotional and mental pain there too because of what happened in her life with her husband and her daughter and the like. Heal all those who are bent over by whatever it might be in their life, addiction, anxiety, depression, fill in the blank. Send us, the prayer goes on to say, send us as your healing presence in their lives. God of grace, hear our prayer. The focus of this reading should not be on the synagogue leader and come to church on Sunday. I said a month ago from this pulpit, I don't know how many of you remember, I said, forget abortion and gun laws and that. It should be a felony. It should be a felony by the Supreme Court. Do not go to church on Sunday morning. And we'll take attendance. We've got the attendance sheet out there. That's how important I think worship is. That's how important. The poor synagogue leader, he thought worship was important. He thought the Sabbath was important. I'm right there with him. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a professor. I'm not a teacher. I'm a parish pastor who leads worship because Sunday morning is the most important thing of all. And this woman knew that. After 18 years of being bent over, she was at the synagogue. But what did she do when she was healed? The same thing I think she did all 18 years. She praised God. And I misread at the beginning of the week, on Wednesday morning, I usually do it Tuesday morning, but on Wednesday morning when I looked at the text in that in preparation for today, I misread the text. Because I said, we should be like her and less like the people in the synagogue and the leader of the synagogue, the rabbi. Did you hear the last line? When Jesus said this, all about, you know, the Sabbath, Jesus' opponents were put to shame. Okay. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. They got it. The people in the synagogue, the old preacher in the pulpit, the synagogue leader, he didn't get it. He was too busy keeping the law. But everyone else rejoiced with her. How wonderful is that? And what did it get Jesus? The fact that they rejoiced with her? It got him hung up to dry. They finally killed him. The leadership in the church were so offended and so threatened by Jesus' presence and the fact that he would do work on Sunday morning and break that law. Everyone knows that law. Keep the Sabbath day. The grandfather, the father, the sons may not be doing it now, but we try. No, Jesus says we should be celebrating and rejoicing with one another that we have been healed. And that we have been allowed to be in God's presence and God's love. The focus should be on the woman and what she did. And then the crowd, I gave them not the benefit of the doubt. They rejoiced with her. But a year later, they said, crucify him, crucify him. Let's get rid of the rabble-rouser. Because he's not playing the game by the rules we want him to play. A woman bent over for 18 years is healed. And responds by praising God. That's what we are called to do too. And if we are not the ones being healed, we are called to be there for our friends and family who were bent over for whatever reason. Amen.
God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kempel, our bishops. They were both together in Columbus, Ohio last week for our church-wide assembly. Which happens every 2 years? 2 years, I think, every 2 years. And if you don't think it's hard to be a part of the church, I'm not kidding when Jesus was killed because he healed Kunta on the Sabbath. There was threats of murdering our Bishop Elizabeth Eaton in Columbus, Ohio. They had to call out Secret Service and they had a police detail. Both she and one of my friends, classmate of mine from 36 years ago, who
who's a bishop in Ohio, they both had death threats. And so they had to have a police escort wherever they went and the whole life. So being in the church isn't all sunflowers and roses, zippity-doo-dah. There are people that hate people in the church still to this day. So remember in our prayers, our bishops Elizabeth Eden and Kristen Kemple. This whole month of August now, we are praying for the St. John's Scholarship Fund here at the St. John's Lutheran Church. It's a scholarship fund that has been put together by the Crest family, and it's in lieu of giving money to all students who are going to higher education or trade schools after the 12th grade. And so we remember them as people are entering school. Our schools start tomorrow. We're going to pray for that also, as well as colleges and that kind of thing. Nationally and around the world, we pray for Ukraine, Russia, and all the nations around the world involved in that war. We pray for people who have lost property and life due to wildfires still, flooding still, heat and drought still. And we pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. And then certainly we pray for all those who are sick, hospitalized, or in need in any way. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God, you bless your church with steadfast love and mercy, hesed and grace. Guide us continually in our baptismal promise and covenant to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Use our diverse gifts and talents in service to all of the children of God. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You satisfy the needs of all creatures of the world. We pray and ask blessings for all those affected by fires, flood, heat, and drought. Restore and protect their habitats. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Interceding on behalf of the vulnerable, we pray for all people near and far. Inspire all rulers, leaders, and governing authorities with your justice, mercy, and peace. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, being bent over, and war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God, you are steadfast love and mercy. Bring encouragement and your presence to all who are experiencing emotional, mental, and physical distress, especially those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Heal all those who are bent over by addiction, anxiety, and depression. Send us as your healing presence in their lives, that we might rejoice with them at their healings. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. God, do a new thing within us. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation. Especially today, we pray for and give you thanks for the students, the staff, and the teachers of our schools here in America Falls and surrounding communities. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all who are working through and suffering from this world pandemic. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all who now rest in you, especially those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
All right, welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Casey Kendall, and this week to Benson Taylor. This week at St. John's, you'll want to look at the readings and prayers page for this week's events. Council meeting will be Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the boardroom. Hymnal dedication and celebration will be Sunday during our regular morning worship service on September 11th at 10 a.m. with a guest preacher of Reverend Robert Goll, a son of the congregation. Sing Around the World organ concert Sunday, September 11th at 5 o'clock at St. John's. Guest organists will be from Eastern Idaho chapter of the American Guild of Organists.
Good morning. So Daily Bread is not tomorrow. It is still the last Monday of the month, but we are going to be gone. So Marla is going to help us out. And I am here today to invite everybody to show up. And if anybody would like to help, to let us know today after the service. Thank you.
The concert by the American Guild of Organists on the 11th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon is really a hymn festival. That means you need to come and sing. And because this new hymnal has a lot of hymns that originated in other countries, the theme is Sing Around the World, and we'll be singing hymns from countries all over the world. Come and have fun. Oh, by the way, if you have a globe that you would like to let us use for decoration, speak to me or Debbie Sims. Thank you. And a big world map.
Not a Christmas globe, but a world globe. She's happy. I was thinking of Where's Waldo, Christmas globe, but she's having a world globe. They're using them as centerpiece decorations for the tables. Go ahead.
Oh,
the last part.
Oh. Okay, so in the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion, and our offertory hymn is 465, As the Grains of Wheat.
Gathered and feeding the world with your love. Through the one who
gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Great Thanksgiving is found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. I invite you to rise as we celebrate the Eucharist. Page 144. The Lord be with you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you this day every day of your life.
Christ is with you. The body of 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 Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ given to you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ.
Just wait there. Just wrap it up. Fold it over. Yep, that works.
Would you please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the benediction. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
In your steadfast love, hesed, mercy, and grace, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Later. 618, 618, guide me ever great.